Craft Film Radio. This is Chiara Nicoletti from the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival. And today I'm with director Christoph Hochhäusler, who's presenting here his film, The Lies of the Victors. You could tell me the right pronunciation for the title in German.
Die Lügen der Sieger.
Thank you so much. So, the first and basic question. So, how did you come up with the idea of this film that, in my opinion, is just apparently a thriller, but it's the thriller genre is just a form to explain and reflect on communication, journalism, and how we get the information and how we forward it that we give it to the world?
You know, the most urgent question for me is really, what is real? You know, how can we know what's happening? And we are usually using media as a way to paint a picture, basically a fairy tale of this is happening, this is real, this is the world. But if we look into how media is operating, how news are being made and sorted and reducted, the story becomes quite different. It's who benefits, as always, like the oldest Roman political question: who benefits? And if we look at the media concentration, who owns media, who wants what message to be heard, and so on, that all those are questions that lead to a more complicated picture than the feeling of every ordinary citizen that things are just real. You know, they're not. They are produced in a communication process that is quite complex, and it's basically all about stories we can believe in and want to believe, more than facts.
And how did it all start? Was there something that happened that made you decide, okay, that's it, that's the moment in which I have to create and write a story to explain this?
There's not one incident. I mean, you know, but there were some major lobbying scandals or an awareness for the influence of corporate power in communication. One of them was, for example, when it came out that the lobby for drugstores in Germany, which sounds very small, but they infiltrated the whole communication of the Ministry of Health. And for a year or so, they could read every email, every document that was being written in the ministry. Now, if such a small lobbying group can do that, you can imagine that there are other things too, you know, that are happening.
Yeah, and in the story, let's talk about the film, the plot, without, you know, spoiling anything. But the main thing is that this investigating journalist, he thinks, well, that's the main problem. He thinks he's investigating on two apparently not related accidents or facts, and he then discovers that there might be somewhat related. And then something else happens, because he finds himself in a situation where he doesn't know anymore what of the things that he already printed out are real and what is not. And I actually had to say that in the end, I didn't know how to understand the ending. I mean, if there's surrendering to this not knowing, or if there's just a moment of disillusion, and then, because he's a journalist, like a lot of investigating journalists, like very determined, very anxious to do everything and to discover everything, and very detailed. So it might be maybe tough for a person like this to discover that everything you've worked on, it's based on unreal facts.
Yeah, you know, he's a very confident person, and like probably all of us, he overestimates his own powers or his own capability to divide between right and wrong. And I think that's always interesting if someone has a very high opinion of himself and doesn't see how this his own hero story, so to speak, is in conflict with finding the truth. I don't know if that was an answer for you. I mean, I think old-fashioned journalism is quite ill-equipped for coping with today's influencing powers, you know, because they have so much more means, money, technology, especially. If we look at the Snowden revelations, for example, and we know that NSA and other services, including, I have to say, including, of course, corporate power, can basically infiltrate every electronic device, then you see that the horizon has changed, you know, and there are limits to good old-fashioned reporting when it comes to encryption and protection of your data and how to verify certain story points when you can fabricate so easily things that have the same appearance as the truth.
And plus, there's another point I was thinking of, that it just that there's this moment in the story in which his boss doesn't want him to do and doesn't want to do anything about it because it's already out. I mean, that's and that's sometimes the another limit, because I was thinking about maybe we don't go so far thinking about lobbies or politics in general. For example, in Italy, it happened that a really silly news came out in a well-known newspaper, and obviously, since it was a very well-known and renowned newspaper, all the online magazines and a lot of online medias spread the news. And eventually they found out that the newspaper was wrong. But then it took, I think, something like a week or two to explain people that news they were talking about, because it was not gossip or something like that. That news they were talking about, it wasn't true.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to a lot of journalists and publishers, and very few want to admit that they make mistakes. Of course not, you know, because they say if they admit it publicly, they would damage their media. And this is an interesting conflict, you know. You rather stand by a lie than damage your reputation, you know. This is a big problem, absolutely.
And I think that you sort of filled a gap in cinema, because I don't think in my obviously little experience, but I like the idea that you use the thriller, but we're really reflecting and thinking about something else. Like the thriller is just a device, as I told you before.
Oh, absolutely. What I like about the thriller is that you can use it to enhance attention to ordinary things, you know, just because it's told in this investigative flow, you look at things differently, and as you would in a drama, for example. You can heighten the attention to a degree that makes you see things anew, and that's what I'm really interested in, that you question the image you have. So it's one of my favorite genres.
How do you normally work with the actors? How did you work with the actors in particular in this sense? Because I guess that for a film like that, which is so detailed, you have to not to be so strict to the script, but still you can't let them get too much freedom. I mean,
that must be a balance.
Yeah, well, usually, you know, I mean, there's a script, yes, of course, and especially in a film like that, you have to think a lot about construction and what information to release and at what time and so on, because there's a real mechanical part about the genre thriller. You know, it's all about the proper release of information at the proper time. And that's why there are certain limits to what they can spoil or say. Yeah, that is true. But at the same time, of course, I want my actors always to feel at ease in their character. And if they need to change a line, I'm absolutely open for it. You know, I mean, a big part. I mean, I don't direct very. Very strictly along the lines of my imagination, but first of all, on the set I'm a spectator. I say let's see it, and then people try things, and if I like it, I will keep it. You know, so it's not that I say, well, I want you to do that. It's exactly this way and this way and this way and this way. Of course, I mean, because I've written the script, there's obviously an idea. But I rather be surprised by my own material than stick to the old idea.
So, what are you expecting from this Roman audience?
Oh, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I hope people use the film to look into their own experience. I mean, this is always, for me, film should be a tool that is handy to. To question your own experiences or connect them, you know. I mean, it's not a film is nothing without a talk after the film or a memory, or maybe it's 10 years from now and you think, well, this is almost like, you know, I mean, something like that. So I think in a way a film has to be, it's a dangerous word maybe, but it has to be useful.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially in this field's case, I guess. As we discussed 50 minutes about a lot of things besides your film, they came out of your film, so I guess you really reached that.
I mean, that's always the dream, that a film sets things in motion, you know, and in other minds. And that's not necessarily what you wanted to achieve, because it's beyond your control, you know.
That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. It has to come alive.
Thank you, Christoph, for being with us on Fred Fee Radio. I hope to meet you again with The Lies of the Victor. So your future projects?
My future project?
Yes.
I'm hoping to shoot next summer a drama, almost melodrama, set in France in 1941. It's under German occupation, so it's a quite grim story. But I also, I mean, I would love to work in pretty much every field. I have plans for a comedy, for science fiction. If you give me the money, I will, you know, deliver a musical, whatever.
So for all the producers listening to this interview, please contact Christoph, and so that you can do all the films you want. And I really wish you that.
Thank you.
So thank you, Christoph, with The Lies of the Victors here at the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival. This is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.